And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast brought to you by, well, nobody, but, shout out to our non-existent sponsors, by the way. Gary Kester here, hosting, like always. Joining me is kind of my new partner in crime, even though we're kind of rivals, like Mountain West rivals. So, yeah. Hani, what's going on, man?
Not much, just... enjoying life as a math genius.
Yeah, for those of you guys that haven't been following us along on Twitter, there's a certain someone that is kind of hilarious. Like, it's pretty funny. It's bad, but it's funny. I think it actually might be Byron Scott's Twitter account, you know, or it might be James Worthy. I don't know. It might be a backup account. But okay. Oh yeah. By the way, have you seen Star Wars yet?
No, not yet. Okay, well, I'm thinking there's a chance on Tuesday, instead of watching the Warriors game, I'll go do that.
Oh yeah, that's probably pretty smart. That's all right. So those of you that didn't get to watch, like me, spoiler alert, I did not get to watch the game tonight, not yet at least. Luckily, Hani did, and he was tweeting along during the game. So the Lakers beat the Suns, I think 97-77. I apologize if that's wrong, but no, the Lakers dominated this game. Probably their best performance, even though I didn't get to watch it. I mean, they just dominated from start to finish. So, really fun game for fans to watch, I'm sure. Hani, what were some of your takeaways from the game? You know, some positives, some negatives, just all that fun stuff.
Positives was just a really, really fast start for the Lakers, which is something we haven't seen, like, ever this season. A lot of that has to do with the Suns just being really bad. Like, they might be worse than the Sixers right now. Yeah. But that being said, it's nice that the Lakers can take advantage of that and do a pretty good job of jumping out to a big lead. Biggest negative was giving up that lead late in the third and in the fourth. Game got, I think, down to like 13 or so points after they had a 38-point lead. I think a ton of that has to do with just the same problems with stagnant offense, leading to turnovers and just not getting up enough good shots. And then the other team gets transition buckets and all of a sudden they're back in the game.
So basically the Lakers just reverted to form.
So yes.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty surprising to me. You know, it was weird coming into this game. I actually expected the Lakers to win because Phoenix had been playing so poorly lately, and it was playing like a team that honestly has just given up on their head coach. And you know, it's hard to imagine Jeff Hornacek being there much longer with the way they've been playing lately. They just gave up 142 points to the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah,
well, they didn't take overtime to do it either, because the Suns only had 114. So yeah, it's rough sledding there down in Phoenix. So they just lost, I think, Eric Bledsoe for the year. So
yeah,
it's not good for them. They might be all aboard the tank train now. So, but no, I kind of expected the Lakers to win this game. I didn't expect them to ever have a 38-point lead, because I didn't think this team was capable of owning such a lead on anybody in the NBA. But to dominate the way they did, and you know, I think, you know, Phoenix having, I think it was 22 points at the half. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's astonishing, because the Lakers are, like, statistically, like, one of the two worst teams in the league defensively.
I think they're the worst right now.
Yeah, so.
Or, I mean, before this game, probably. I don't know if it changed the game.
That part's pretty baffling. But, we mentioned kind of on the last podcast that Jordan Clarkson, it seems like he's kind of returning back to his form that we saw, you know, the second half of last season. And early on to start the season, what were some things you noticed with his game today, and why you think he's kind of finding his groove again?
I think this was maybe the best game I've seen from him, maybe even all year, because I think he was really under control. And it was really like the second half of last season, where he kind of played point guard in a way where he'd come off picks and he'd take his time probing into the lane and either getting shots up or finding the other guys. Like, he got a couple of really nice assists to Nance and to Hibbert, And I think he just playing a really patient, controlled game helped him out a ton and helped the team out a ton.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, he was hurt. I know he was hurt. I think he had, I don't know if it was two bad ankles or he had, like, basically an injury on each leg, though.
Yeah, I think it was bad ankles.
It was both bad ankles. And, yeah, so, I mean, that can throw something off, especially, you know, when he's such a – he's a pretty gifted athlete. And he uses that to his advantage really well. So playing without that, it's really hard to, you know, especially for a young player to adjust, you know, adjust his game around that. So it's great to see him kind of coming back to form a little bit. And I think that's going to make things easier for the other guys, you know, to, for him, especially if Kobe's out, they need somebody that can kind of attract that defensive attention away from Russell and Randall. And of course they've got Lou Williams out there who played really well tonight too, from judging from the box score. So just having Clarkson back and playing well, I think it's a, I wouldn't say it's like it's meant everything, but I think there's a pretty strong correlation to his performance as of late to the Lakers winning some games here, you know, the last three. So would you agree with that, or what do you think? It's more than just that.
I mean, it is more than just that, because I think it has to do with the competition they played and just the team in general clicking a little bit better. But yeah, I think it's a really big part, because not only is he getting a little bit better at scoring and being more efficient, but he's also been doing a better job of getting other guys involved. And I think that's important for this team, especially since they're such a low assist team.
Yeah. It's, well, and like they need him, Russell and Randall and Nance, if they're out there together, you know, to get out and transition, because they're all, you know, good athletes. I mean, Russell's kind of a sneaky good athlete. You know, he doesn't seem like it, but I mean, he's a great ball distributor. So
he almost threw down a really massive dunk, but he got fouled by Ronnie Price.
Of course, Ronnie Price.
He ruined a bunch of guards 2 years in a row.
I know he ruined most of our fun last year, and now he's still coming. Byron probably high fived him after it, to be honest. But okay, I have one question before we move on to the next point. Did Ronnie Price keep both of his shoes on today?
He did, but he did step out of bounds with one of them at one point.
Okay.
Hornacek took a timeout with like 2 seconds left in the half to try and draw up something, and as soon as they inbounded the ball, Ronnie Price stepped out of bounds.
Oh, classic Ronnie Price. Ronnie Price. All right, so yeah, Clarkson played really well. I mean, the Lakers in general played really well tonight.
Yeah,
the Suns are just that terrible. Either way, they won easily. We're going to move on to Byron Scott and Julius Randle, because there seems to be, I wouldn't say this is like brand new, because I kind of noticed it a little bit with the Celtics game, but there seems to be almost some disdain for each other. There's kind of like a feud going on there, right?
Yeah, a little bit. And I think it's kind of a thing that Byron has with most of the young guys. Or, I mean, I shouldn't say most. It's really just Randle and Russell at this point. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's this weird dynamic of Byron singling out both of those guys in the media and also not giving them as many minutes as they think they deserve. And then basically those guys getting frustrated with that after a while.
Yeah, and, you know, to the unnamed person that was arguing with me, I was running the account after the game a little bit. As far as, you know, Byron and his mistreatment of players, if it would be one thing if this was something new, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Byron goes way back in his, you know, arguments and, I mean, just his players' disdain for him. You know, Jason Kidd basically told the Nets, like, get this guy out of here or trade me. Like, either way, like, I'm done with it.
They went to two finals together.
Yeah, like, that's so telling that, you know, the team had success, and yet Jason Kidd wanted nothing to do with him. And, you know, the same thing kind of happened in New Orleans. I don't think Chris Paul was the same way, but David West, like, publicly voiced his opinion on Byron Scott after Byron Scott was let go, and just, I mean, almost kind of basically just ripped him to shreds and ripped his so-called offensive system to shreds too, saying that, you know, we're not going to be predictable anymore, you know, and guys, guys can maybe have something to believe in or something like that, something along those lines. And
I think Boozer did the same with his defense after last year, which is crazy because Boozer doesn't play defense, but he was the one criticizing Bayern not teaching defense.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, it's like this whole tough love thing with Bayern and the young guys, like kind of not trying to hand them anything, I guess, but it's like, you know, when this guy has a history of veteran players having serious issues with him, you know, that's a major problem. And I mean, even the veteran players on the Lakers kind of understand how important the young guys are to this franchise, and Bayern doesn't seem to get it, you know? Yeah. And it's just, it's incredibly frustrating. And I get where Randall is coming from. Because I'm just looking at the box score, obviously he didn't have a great night offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, first of all, he should be playing a hell of a lot more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, period. The dude's one of the pillars to the franchise's future. And Russell only played 21 minutes, but Randall had 12 rebounds in 15 minutes. Like, that is absolutely absurd to have that.
Almost 30 per 36.
I know. I mean, like, if he would have played even 30 minutes, he was on pace for 24 rebounds. Like, that's insane. No, I mean, do you have anything to add to that? I mean, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit here, but I'm a little irritated with Byron Scott and anybody that actually has the audacity to defend this guy.
Yeah, I don't have much more to add to it just because I have no idea what's going on. Like, I don't know where he thinks it's a good idea to not only bench a guy that's going to be one of your two or three stars on the team for the next 10 years, hopefully. But then also go into the media and say he was lackadaisical when he had 12 rebounds in 15 minutes. Or he said that before too. He said he has no energy or whatever. There was something that I saw a video of his press conference afterward where he said, I told Julius that he has to guard his man and it's not just him. And then after he said it's not just him, he continually just singled out Julius and didn't say anything about anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just this weird, like, I want to believe that he's trying to motivate them, but it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and it sounded like, at least from reading like some of the quotes and the tweets and stuff, that he singled out Julius in the locker room, like in front of the team too.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to remember this guy is what, 20, 21 years old. You know, I mean, the younger generation, you know, everybody wants to talk about millennials or whatever the hell, like, I mean,
there's a lot of talk of millennials today.
I know. You can't just like hammer away. Like, and that's the challenge with coaching is like all of your players are different. You have to kind of pick and choose your battles. Like who can you be tough on and who do you need to encourage? Like who do you need to kind of be like a cheerleader for almost, you know? Like that's part of the challenge with coaching is managing egos because everybody has a different one, you know? Like Kobe can take tough love. Like you could literally like insult Kobe's family and he'd probably be like, you know, okay, whatever. And you know, some guys react better to it. Some guys don't. And you know, to the unnamed person that was defending Byron, I mentioned Anthony Brown shot 2 of 7 tonight, but he played 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And just reading Ryan Killepier's recap, and if you guys haven't read that, check that out on the site LakersOutsiders.com. Just reading that, it sounded like Anthony Brown was almost non-existent. Like he wasn't making an impact, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, like it kind of makes sense. Everybody else is doing really well, so you don't notice a guy that's not super comfortable in the team yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he wasn't really doing anything that, say, like Nick Young couldn't do.
Yeah, and that's the issue is, you know, why are you playing a guy and the guy's, one of the guy's like logic was, well, he plays out on the perimeter. It's like, so, you know, like Julius Randle was making an impact on the game, even though he wasn't scoring, like 12 rebounds in 15 minutes is no joke. I mean, that's an insane rebounding rate. you know. And Anthony Brown's out there just kind of spacing the floor, kind of catching and shooting, you know, when the ball comes to him. And 2 of 7's not a good clip. It just doesn't make sense to play him twice as many minutes, you know, as a guy that's going to be a huge part of your team's future.
So and that's not to mention that Anthony Brown, this was his third game in 3 nights because he played in the D-League last night too.
Yeah, exactly. It just blows my mind, you know, the logic behind all of it, because it's like, it's common sense that's just being like thrown out the window. Like, I don't know, man. I really don't know. But like I mentioned, you kind of noticed it with the Boston game, with that glare that Randall kind of shot at Byron Scott when he got pulled out of the game with like 4 minutes left. I mean, he sent like a Kobe-esque to Mike Brown glare. Like, it was pretty mean. But no, I think Julius Randle, he might just be getting sick of Byron Scott, and maybe he'll talk to the front office. I don't know. Do it for the people, Julius. We believe in you.
Yeah, please.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I mean, we've been doing this with Byron Scott all season long. It's like banging your head against the wall. I mean, he's had a past history of really bad player coach relationships, and
yeah. You know,
that's why he's bounced around all over the league, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know. But we're gonna play a fun little game, I guess. So I was thinking about this tonight after I kind of saw the whole Julius Randle and Byron Scott feud thing. So there's two scenarios here, and we're each going to pick – I mean, we're each going to choose which one we would, you know, prefer. Mm-hmm. So would you rather the Lakers be bad enough to keep their top three pick and fire Byron Scott, or and not really get any like key free agents? Or would you rather win enough games to not really keep the pick, so you lose the pick, but you win enough games to keep Byron Scott for next year, and you get a couple of solid free agents? Not like a Kevin Durant, but like a couple of solid free agents.
I don't know if this is just the fact that Byron's got on my nerve more than usual today, but I think I would want the team to do poorly and get him fired. And it's not even about the pick, because I don't really care about keeping the pick this year. Mm-hmm. But I think, like to your point about free agency, I think Byron Scott being the coach of the team is more of a hindrance to getting good free agents than losing a lot of games. And yeah, even if we don't get free agents next year because the team is really bad and nobody wants to come, I think just having a coach that can develop like 4 or 5 really good young players on the team already and get them to a competent level in like a year or two would do more to bring in free agents than be good this year but keep Byron Scott.
Yeah, you know, and the reason I bring this kind of situation up is because everybody thinks it's so cut and dry when it comes to free agency. You know, they think that basically, oh, if the Lakers win 30 games, they can trick, you know, Kevin Durant into signing with us. You know, we're close because we're winning some games and stuff. And, you know, that was the case last year. Everybody thought, oh, you know, win a few more games. Don't worry about the draft pick. Win a few more games and the free agents will come. And it's like, you know, the players have the same resources that we all do. In fact, they have more. Like, they have inside sources, you know, because the players all talk to each other. If Kevin Durant wants to know, which I don't know why I keep throwing Kevin Durant's name out there. Like, I seriously don't ever think he would come here. But say ex free agent, you know, texts Julius Randle, like, hey, what's it like playing for Byron Scott? Like, do you recommend it or this and that? Like, what do you think Julius Randle's going to tell him, especially right now? Like, hell no. Like,
hell no.
Like, no, dude, just don't do it. You know, so it's – I would have to agree with you on I'd rather just, you know, be bad enough to keep the pick and get Byron out of there. Because I think – and just like you said, it's not about the pick. It's about getting Byron out of there, because I think he's hindering the development of this team. You know, I thought this team could have, you know, I predicted them to win 31 games, which is probably a long shot now. But that was based on the kind of premise that they would get better as the season went along because their young talent would develop over the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you look at Randall and Russell, and everybody seems to think that, you know, this move to the bench has helped them. Like, look at games like tonight. You know, you can't, you know, credit their good games to a move to the bench and then just ignore these games. Yeah. Because, obviously, Randall's got some stuff going on in his head, and it's centered around Byron Scott. You know, so I don't know. Like, I don't like. I'm just like you, and I've mentioned this before. I don't really care about the draft pick all that much because I didn't come into the season expecting to keep it. You know, even if they have the worst record, which I seriously don't think they will, it's only a 64% chance. You know, it's like there's a decent chance you could still lose it. But yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers need. I mean, they need a new head coach to really develop this talent and then really start taking steps forward. I think that will go longer with, you know, free agents than, say, winning 29 games instead of 19 or 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm at with it.
Yeah, so, you know, for those for the crowd out there that thinks, like, winning a handful, five or six, you know, more games is going to trick free agents to come here, like, they've got Twitter, they've got NBA.com, like they have resources just like we do, you know. In fact, they know more. So, you know, I think it's more about the culture that you're kind of providing them, the direction, like a strong, clear direction that you're showing. And yeah, it's not about how many games you won last year. Like it helps if you win like 40, 50 games, obviously, but like, when you're as bad as, you know, the Lakers are this year, that doesn't really matter. So,
yeah.
All right. I mean, that's about all I wanted to talk on. I think I've ranted enough on this podcast though. do you have anything else that you wanted to add? Anything you wanted to touch on before we sign off?
Just another point on the last thing. Another reason I want Byron Scott gone is just because I'm really tired of talking about him or writing about him or any of that sort of thing. So that would be nice to,
and a new coach would be great so that we don't have to answer the which coaching candidates like would you guys prefer. Like, to anybody out there that's asking us that question, just look at like any of our last like 6-7 podcasts. We answer that question all the time. So yeah, I think that's going to be about it. I guess before we sign off, we can do a moment of silence, I guess, for our NFL teams.
Yeah.
Hani is a Cowboys fan and I am a Tennessee Titans fan. So, looking forward to that April draft. What pick did Dallas end up with, by the way?
Number 4, I think.
Number 4? All right.
Yeah. So apparently today I learned that they could have had anywhere between number 2 and number 8, depending on the results. So I'm fairly happy.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Tennessee did their job. Zach Mettenberger, Tank Master General, got the Titans' number 1 pick. You know, Alex Tanny tried to ruin it. It's all good. So at least I got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, those of you that don't know, I'm also an Arizona Diamondbacks fan. Sorry, Dodger fans that are Laker fans too. And they had the number 1 pick in their draft. Titans are going to have the number 1 pick in theirs. So. I think destiny just says that the Lakers are going to have the number 1 pick. So,
yeah.
All right. And on that note, that's a happy note. Like that's a good one.
That's a happy note.
After I've been pissed off all night because of Byron. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for those that followed along. We actually had more viewers than we normally do. So I know it's
people
late.
People are really ticked off.
I know. People like even in a 20-point win, like Byron Scott just has this way.
I think I tweeted that after. I don't think any single person could have made me as mad as Byron Scott did after a game where my team led by 38 points.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up right there. So, yeah, thanks for everybody that followed along. Keep a lookout for tomorrow. I'm going to try and get the crew together tomorrow to record another podcast, and I'm going to we're going to do some writing and stuff. So just keep your eyes and ears peeled. We're going to try and have some nice content up for you guys tomorrow. So All right, that's going to do it for us. Until next time, this is the Lakers Outsiders signing off.